Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome to the Steve Jones Show. Steve Jones will be joining us in the Sunbury Motors studio here in just a few minutes. This may actually be my favorite day on the Steve Jones Show ever. I would have to say, with Paul Page from the Indianapolis Motor Speedway Radio Network, Sage Karam from Ganassi IndyCar Racing, this might just be my favorite Steve Jones Show ever, even before it starts.
Contain yourself. Other than picking up the phone saying hi, it'll be the last time you talked to him.
Saying what?
Other than you picking up the phone saying you're ready to go, that'll be the last time you talked to him.
No, I'll see him on Sunday.
And they're going to talk to you?
No, I said I see him on Sunday. I didn't say they'll talk to me on Sunday. I said I see him on Sunday.
You got that right.
I think Drew Kelly was just periscoping me, by the way, on the Steve Jones Show.
What's he periscoping you about?
No, just periscoping me on the show.
Doing what?
Well, talking on the program right now. It's done now. The live feed's over now.
The live feed?
Yeah, the live feed from Periscope is now complete.
Really? So what time are these people on today?
What are we doing on the show again today? Who's on the show today?
Well, I know who's on.
Paul Page at 3:35, Sage Karam at 4:06.
Do they know that you have a man crush on each?
I'm pretty sure Paul does now. I think it's too early for Sage to realize that.
That's okay, because I'm going to ask him.
I'm pretty sure Paul does, because you know we have had some nice conversations before he's been on the program.
So he knows you have a man crush and he still came out on the show?
Well, you know, he's all about promoting the sport. I mean, you know, that's what it's all about.
So if he figures that he endures that 30 seconds, he can then promote the sport.
Right. He figures that's worth the time. Did you see
the Sage Karam? No, you have a man crush on him.
No, not yet.
Not yet.
Well, I'm sure it'll eventually. You know, he'll eventually catch on. But
like today?
No, probably Sunday. Probably Sunday.
Probably Sunday. When we do Sunday,
we're gonna hang out in his garage.
What?
There's more. Jeez. I'm telling you, Periscope must be going nuts right now with Drew Kelly periscoping me every 5 seconds.
Oh. Yeah. You're going to hang out in his garage, the security now?
Well, yeah, because we have garage passes, so you go into the garage. That's the nice thing about IndyCar. IndyCar, when you have a pass for the infield, it also includes the garage area. So you can walk up and down the garage And, you know, talk to drivers, talk to crew members, you know, get up close and personal with the cars.
What?
I mean, there were a couple.
You can do what?
Get up close and personal with the cars. You can actually, you know, be really, really close to the vehicles.
Well, I was just close to my Ford Escape. I mean, that was a great thrill.
It's not the same, believe me. Actually, I was watching something on Discovery Channel. I think it was Discovery. No, it was Travel Channel the other day.
Please don't try to impress the passengers that you're not watching ESPN.
No, this was really cool. It was a roller coaster that a Ferrari park has put together in. I think it's either Abu Dhabi or Dubai. But the coaster is built like an F1, a Formula One Ferrari. Maybe like, you know, like they're driving right now. But it multiple seats in there because it's a roller coaster. And it actually starts off going 150 miles an hour. It actually catapults you to 150 miles an hour to get the feeling of what it's like to be in a Formula One car. That's now on my bucket list.
Most Formula One cars go about 75 to 80 miles an hour.
They do not. They go faster than that. Some of the turns they have to go that slow, yes.
Oh, the turns are going 40. What are you talking about?
Well, they'll be doing, the Indy cars will be doing 220 around the Pocono Triangle in the next few days.
Now that's racing.
That's fast.
Hey, that's racing.
If I remember right, NASCAR time is about 40 on the new pavement a few years ago. It was like 47, 50 seconds a lap. The Indy car was about 36.
Yeah. So despite the fact that Paul Page has an inkling that you have a man crush on him, he's still doing the show.
You're obsessed with this. Yes, he's still doing the show.
I just find it sad.
I have to call him in 15 minutes, as a matter of fact.
And I have it like that countdown clock in your head going right now, don't you?
Not exactly.
I don't call him at 3:35. I call him at 3:32 so I can have 3 extra minutes.
I was thinking 3:30, but okay, you know, 3:32.
How about calling him at 3:34?
No, that's not enough time to get it all set up and, you know, make sure the call is properly set up on the air.
Yeah. And then Sage Karam, what time will you call him?
A little after 4.
Why don't you just call him at 4:06?
Well, because he's ready to go on the air at 4:06. I don't want to have to call him and say, hey, you know, here we go. We're ready to go. I want to give him a little chance to, you know, be prepared.
I'll kill 30 seconds. We're good.
Hey, did you hear what they were doing in NFL in week 2, Steve?
I don't really care what they're doing in the NFL week 2.
Well, preseason week 2, I should say. Preseason week 2, they're going to be testing new procedures related to officials. The NFL will have an extra official on the field and will use a Microsoft Surface tablet, the official tablet of the National Football League, for instant replay purposes. In other words, the way it looks, they won't be going under the hood.
So does Sage Karam know that you have a man crush on him? Or
according to the statement released by the NFL, the 8th official is being brought on in an attempt to reduce the number of times the official is responsible for multiple areas of the field that may not be in proximity to each other. The 8th official will be positioned in the offensive backfield, focusing on the center, the guard tackle closest to the official. This official will be known as U2.
Why don't you just put the official up with a bunch of monitors upstairs and just go to him when you need him?
I agree.
Okay. Well, so
they're also going to have another official set up.
This day you have lived for. Oh, okay.
How anxious have you been for today's show?
Well, I've been working on this for a couple of weeks, so you know, we're trying to get Sage Karam on after his first podium finish, in which he had to apologize to the first and second place drivers because they weren't allowed to have champagne on the podium.
I see.
How would you like to do the interview instead of me?
No, not at all.
You would be too tongue-tied.
No, you're a much better interviewer.
I think you drive fast.
It would not be as bad as Chris Farley, okay? Like, remember when you were a Beatle? That was cool. It wouldn't be that bad.
You really drive fast.
So, like, when you were driving really fast, is that cool? No, it wouldn't be that bad. It would be different from what you would ask, because I think of things differently.
In what way?
Well, I would have to ask you. I would want to know, what's his feeling about being a young driver with all the veterans and, you know, and the heat that he's been under from those drivers because of the way he drives, because of the what some would call aggressive nature of his driving. I would want to know how he feels about that. I find that very interesting because he seems to handle it quite well, considering.
What choice does he have?
Well, but he's not there. He's not there going, you know, saying, listen, this is ridiculous. I'm just driving my race. He said, you know, he handles it very, very well. And Ed Carpenter gave him a tongue lashing, and I thought he handled himself very, very well in that with the cameras on. And with Paul Page. I would ask Paul Page.
Can I have your job? Can I spot for you?
Are you sure you don't need somebody in turn three on Sunday? I'm available.
Ay, ay, ay. Well, this is a big buildup. And there's a lot of pressure on me to ask the kind of questions that will make the two of them say, hey, that was a pretty good experience. You know how long I've been up? I was up last night thinking of questions for these guys.
No, please. I don't even have to answer that. Everyone that listened to this program for more than 15 minutes knows exactly the answer to that question.
What?
Zero.
What? That bugs you.
I just think it's cool that we have these guys on the program.
It
I think it's
you.
Cool we have Jack Hamm on the program.
Yeah, I've mentioned you to him a couple times.
You have not. You lie.
And there's just been no reaction.
Yeah. I did an interview with him when he first came on the network, though.
Oh, good.
It was funny because, and I probably told you this story, but I actually dialed the number up and hi, this is Jack. And I'm like, I'm expecting a secretary or something. Somebody's screening it, but it's Jack. And I'm just kind of stumbling my way through an introduction. And he's like, who is this? Kevin Herr. I want to do, I'm just kidding. Yeah. Hang on a second. We'll talk. That's no problem. I said, excuse me while I change.
Oh, and you called me up to interview me too, didn't you, I think?
Yeah, that was, because you guys started the same year together, didn't you?
Yes, we did.
Yeah, well, and I had already talked to you before. That wasn't as, you know, that was a little bit different because I'd already had conversations with you.
What do you want?
What do you want? Pardon me, Mr. Hamm, sir.
You ever hear his voicemail on his cell phone?
No.
Hamm, leave a message.
Well, the best. Well, like I said, I'm expecting to get like a secretary or somebody screening it, and he's answering his own calls. And he's, well, and then, but
Terry,
then,
well, Terry may have been out.
Well, that's exactly what he said to me. He said, "Hey, listen, he said Terry's out today. So if the phone rings, please don't be offended if I go get the phone quick." And it happened like two or three times during the interview.
Like one time he said, "Hey, give me a call at home." He said, "I got to give you my home number." I said, "I have your home number." He goes, "You do. Who gave it to you?" I said, "You did." He said, and he says, "You never call it.
You never call me at home.
I said, "I don't like bothering you at home." He goes, "That's why I gave it to you." I said, "I knew you wouldn't bother me." I said, "Yeah." All right. We'll take a break. And for Kevin, talk show Nirvana, countdown is on. 60 minutes of talk show bliss as we talk IndyCar on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
0-66.
The winning trolley is at Sunbury Motors Kia.
0% financing for 66 months.
Sunbury Motors Kia has the winning play with 0% APR financing for 66 months. Why pay interest when you can drive away in any new Kia with 0% financing? Choose from 2015 Kia Fortes, Optima, Souls, Cadenzas, Sedonas, Sportages, and 2016 Serenos. Sunbury Motors Kia has every color and every option available. Plus, every new Kia comes with a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited powertrain warranty. Ask yourself, why pay interest on a new vehicle? Come to Sunbury Motors Kia now and pay 0% APR for 66 months. Owning a brand new Kia is more affordable than ever at Sunbury Motors Kia on the Strip in Hummel's Wharf and at sunburymotors.com.
0-66.
Next, financing to all qualified customers through KMF. Restrictions apply. See dealer for details.
This is gonna be the best day of my life. My life. This is gonna be the best day.
Yep. All right, Kev. This is a big day for you. Yeah. Uh-huh. Well, hopefully the audience enjoys it.
I hope so.
Because in the end, that actually is the object of the show. It is not the what Kevin Hur loves to talk about show.
That's also true.
As much as I've tried to reiterate that to you over and over again.
Well, it's not like we have these folks on every time there's an IndyCar race. It's just when they're in Pennsylvania and they're just a stone's throw away.
When the Indianapolis 500.
Well, the 500, sure. That's the exception to the rule.
Yeah.
I like racing in general, and I wouldn't necessarily call myself a NASCAR fanatic, but I do watch it. But I am a little fanatical when it comes to IndyCar racing because that's kind of what I grew up with. And it's really nice to have it back at Pocono once again after such a long hiatus. I just hope it's successful and they can keep it here because it's a great track to watch these guys race.
By the way, it looks like Chase Utley, according to Sports Illustrated, is going to be remaining with the Phillies the rest of the year. Phillies General Manager Ruben Amaro Jr. told Philadelphia's 94 WIP today that it's very likely Chase Utley will not be traded this season.
Well, he is baseball smarter than I am, so I'll take his word for it.
Well, considering he's the decision maker.
But he's told me that he's definitely smarter than I am, so I'll take his word for it.
Kevin, everybody's smart enough to...
Wow. Man. Hang on a second. I'm going to need a towel for this nosebleed.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. And very pleased to be joined by one of the true greats in our business, in my estimation. That would be Paul Page. He'll be calling the Pocono 500 coming up on Sunday. Paul, welcome back to the show. It's great to have you with us.
It's great to be back. You guys okay?
We're doing very well. Thanks for asking, Paul.
Good.
All right. How would you characterize this Indy season as you've watched it play out before your eyes?
Tight, and very tight. It's been historic in that Montoya has led the points fight right from the get-go. And, he's got a little bit of an edge. If he can continue to perform well, like he did last year at Pocono, then he probably has a championship. But as we all know, it's seldom. Like 2 weeks ago at Mid-Ohio, I brought up the point that the leader in the points, the third race from the end of the season, seldom actually wins a championship. So, you know, who knows? Who knows where it's going? It's why we do it, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. Again, everything takes on its own personality. Tracks have their own personality. As
yep.
you've played out over the years and watched them on the Tricky Triangle, what's the personality of Pocono that makes it different from other tracks for you as you go through the race?
Well, of course, when we're talking Pocono, for me, you're actually talking back to the late 70s.
Right.
And I did a bunch of races, both NASCAR and IndyCar, for NBC Sports when I was with them in the early 80s. So I've got a long history, and the track itself, there's so many things you can speak to. Let's just speak to the track itself. There's nothing else like it in the world. I mean, it's very, very unique. It's, in reality, I think it's a road course. Just because of the nature of how they have to set the cars up. It's not an oval, you know, every turn is essentially the same. Once you get one, you got them all. And not true at Pocono. But I also definitely see it as an oval because it has all the physical and visual attributes of an oval. So it's one great track. It's always been good. At first, I mean, I can remember the boilerplate walls, and we eventually got that all fixed and figured out. But the facility as a racetrack has always been good. There's been plenty of room for the competitors, plenty of opportunity for the competitors to actually interact with the fans there. And so all of that is just, it's awesome. That's good. And then watching the facility itself grow as a physical entity, the stands and the different suites and the things that are available. It's a class track. There's no question about it.
Paul, when I do Penn State football or Penn State basketball, the coordination is rather simple within the broadcast. Yeah, we may have to go to the sideline once in a while. What's the coordination like on your broadcast, especially at times where you're covering tracks that are 2.5 miles around?
Well, let me answer that this way to start. When you're covering college football, you got two teams and one ball, and that's the focus.
Right.
When I'm covering motorsports, I have 24 teams, and we don't know where the football is, so you have to make all kinds of guesses on where to go. And you try to set that story when the broadcast begins, and then you try to keep those stories going, and hopefully you have been somewhat predictive. So by the end, all of those stories come together. But until that final lap, you don't really have the score. And that's what makes it different. And having the announcers that are so good, Mark James, Jake Query, who are out on the turns, I mean, they've been around the sport forever. They have a passion for it. All of our crew does. I mean, I've been doing this a very long time, and the hair still stands up on the back of my neck anytime I see an IndyCar start. So
yeah, no question about that for anybody that loves the sport. IndyCar
exactly.
has made advancements this year. More people are, for example, I know we're talking radio side, which I've heard the radio broadcast many times, but on television side, it has gained in ratings, thus it's showing it's gaining in popularity. What has it been like for you, who has a passion for this, to see somewhat of a resurgence in interest in the sport?
Well, it's obviously made me very happy. There was a time there when many of us weren't sure how this was going to move on. Was it sitting on a plateau and never going to get above a certain level? And why people didn't react to it or love it as much as I did, and as much as the people in IndyCar actually do. Now we're beginning to realize that if we expose it properly, which is what NBC Sports Channel has been doing, and what ABC Sports did this year, and what we try to do every weekend on the radio network, that it's now got some traction. It's now got a foothold, and that just seems to be building. And that was the game plan all along once the new administration took over. So they predicted, and it's working. And so it makes you just feel super.
Yeah, no question about that. NASCAR has a problem in that it appears, and it's not just appears, it's a fact. The vast majority of passing in NASCAR actually takes place in the pits. On an Indy course, the vast majority of passing is dramatic, and it takes place on the racetrack. What has that added to the excitement that maybe is helping build your audience?
Well, the mere fact that you're actually seeing the physical confrontation, the start, for example, again, 2 weeks ago at Mid-Ohio, when they went creaming into the first corner, it was like they were five wide, and they were serious right from the start. It wasn't like, well, we're going to kind of be nicey-nice till the last 20 laps or something and then make a race out of it. They were hammering each other right from the start. And that seems to have been the way the drivers are now looking at this, that they recognize, one, that they have to do that in order to win. And they recognize, number two, that if they do that, it also gets them some substantial recognition. Now the TV and radio people want to get that out and promote what's happening out there. So it's suddenly started working. I know on occasion it's probably driving the officials nuts because they don't really like to see people bouncing off of each other. But in Fontana at the 500 there, I mean, that thing, I'd never seen a race quite like that, that just kept going and going and going. And, you know, they went forever. I think, 170 laps or so before they got their first caution. And yet all the way, people were side by side. They were pushing one another over. I mean, visually, you couldn't take your eyes off the track, and that's a good thing.
That's always a great thing when that happens. You've covered all the great drivers. I mean, Foyt, Andretti, Mears, Unser, all the way up through to the current crop. Each group has its own personality. Each driver has their own personality. What do you like about the current crop of racer on the courses you see?
Their level of seriousness. Some of the names that you mentioned early on there were absolutely great drivers, no question about that. I've long said that A.J. Foyt and Mario Andretti are the two greatest drivers that ever lived, and that holds to this day. But the current driver now understands that, unlike in the day of a Bobby Unser, where the mechanics were called grease monkeys and a fight in a bar at the end of a day was not an uncommon thing, these guys are polished. They're suave. They know how to go in a boardroom and hold a conversation. Important to me is they know how to answer a question. They know what my constraints are. That they get it out, they get the answer there, and they give you the information you want. They're not wandering around all over the world like I'm doing right now.
Right, exactly. I know, for example, you know, I'll sit down, I'll talk with coaches and players, and, you know, and yes, you've got to deal with 24 teams. I deal with two, but I also have to deal with 120 players during the course of this. So I try to get to know as many as I can to help get storylines going and so forth. Do you have a certain game plan in your mind as to how maybe you want to attack it, who you need to talk to, why you need to talk to them? It doesn't have to be a driver. It could be a crew chief, whatever.
Right. Absolutely, I do. I'm, in fact, working on the Sonoma plan right now. The Pocono plan is, for the most part, put to bed. And I'll try to think of where the stories are flowing. How do we want to start that race? Who do we want to call attention to? That, in terms of my job as opposed to college football, which I have done, I am trying to attach the new fans to somebody. I'm trying to give a fan who's sitting down for the first time a reason to watch Ryan Hunter Ray or whomever else it is by making them human and giving them a personality and not just running stats on them. And because if you tell that story, you know, you tell somebody that Tony Kanaan's a triathlete and here's a couple things that he's done in that. Now you got a bunch of people out there saying, whoa, I do that too. I watch him. I enjoy it. And that's the guy I'm going to stay with. And that's what I see as our job to do in terms of trying to increase our audience and increase the popularity of IndyCar.
And you've been able to do it. Now, you also did something this summer, and you've done it before, and that, of course, is the Nathan's Hot Dog Eating Contest.
You're not
going
to do that to me, are you? Oh.
The only reason I bring it up, there's actually a specific legitimate reason I'm bringing it up, because you worked with somebody that I worked with here for a couple of years, who's from State College. That's Melanie Collins. And so just from you, just an update in working with her, because I had worked with her when she first started this thing, about how well she did.
Well, I guess I've got to be careful, not so much talking about her, but talking about the nature of female reporters in sports. Across all of the networks, there's often a tendency to get the really great-looking blonde without necessarily qualifying it further. Now, that's gone more and more away. It started when Jamie Little first came in, and she and I worked the X Games together. At the Nathan's, I could not believe how intense she was on getting facts and how many people she talked to. And especially because when I talked to her, she had a real clear understanding of how many times she might get on. And most people would say, okay, I'm going to get on three times, which is
right.
We actually used her more because she was better. But then they'd say, okay, so I got three things. That's all I need. But she had, when we sat down in our production meeting, she had a notebook full of information. I stole most of it, you know. she was really good.
Yeah. And the only reason I brought it up, her parents still and her family still lives here in State College, and I'm sure they wanted to hear your perspective on how well she did.
They have every reason to be proud of her. They definitely do.
Right. Yeah. Same here on our end, because we worked with her for a couple of years. Back to the race itself. I always go into something without expectations. Do you take the same approach, or do you have a couple of expectations going in?
No, I take the same approach. I want the race to be revealed to me. I look at possibility, just so should they happen, I've got something in mind for that. But it was a thing that I learned at ABC Sports. When I was doing the television for ABC and ESPN, you can over-predict that thing. Television had a very bad tendency for a while of trying to control the race. I'm not saying trying to control it in terms of putting a caution out or whatever it was, but they decided they had an outcome, and they had to get to that some way. I mean, probably the best example is when Danica Patrick was in IndyCar. They were playing the daylights out of her, though at that time, she didn't necessarily deserve that level of publicity. And so in doing that, they took away from other things. So my approach has always been, let it unfold in front of me. Hopefully I've given you a few things to think about before it starts. But there's things I don't want to know. Sometimes, you know, a team will say, hey, this is something we're thinking about, and this you might want to know. Whoa, whoa, whoa. No, I really don't. As long as once it happens, if it works for you, I send a pit reporter, or I'm talking to you, you give us the information. But I really want to be surprised, because that surprise goes right through to the listener.
One final question, then we'll let you go. And thanks so much for your time. We greatly appreciate it. Paul Page. Paul, from a job perspective, what is it like for you to wake up every day knowing that the hair is going to stand up on the back of your neck when you go to do your job on Sunday?
I know that I have an incredible life. When I was a kid, I grew up in Chicago. I was actually a military brat. I wanted to see races when I was about 13. My family sent me down to see Indy. I fell in love with it. Then I when I got kind of on my own, I started paying my way to races, and then I even bought a Formula Ford for SCCA racing. And now I look and I realize I have had the incredible fortune of calling some of the most awesome motorsports events in the world, and not just IndyCar. Tangentially, I've also had the great opportunity to do any number of other events that have been spectacular. I've hosted America's Cup, just stuff like that, stuff that I wouldn't normally have thought about. I mean, I never would have thought about going to the many countries I've been to, and it's all a result of the job. So, I mean, I've got the greatest job in the world. They're sending me to watch what I love best, what I have a passion for, and they're actually paying me for it. So I've got a great world.
Well, it's a great world for us that we get a chance to hear you do that, and we appreciate the time you gave us today. Thanks so much, Paul.
Glad to do it. Thanks for talking.
Paul Page, without question, one of the best in the business. We will come back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK. You're wondering why there was a gap between my clothes and the commercial. It's because Captain Excitement couldn't wait to jump on board and talk with Paul.
Yeah, I got an opportunity to chat with him before the interview and then a little post-interview chat.
Yeah, he just texted me.
I don't think he did.
Evidently, the police have been notified.
No, because we talked about Sunday and we talked about locations and stuff. And
gave you a false time as to when he was going to be there.
He may have given me a false location. I'm not sure, but I'll let you know Sunday afternoon. How's that?
Where are you going to be, Paul? Sonoma.
But you're not running there yet.
Exactly.
So Paul, on Sunday, where are you going to be hanging out?
Road America.
That's not in Pennsylvania, is it?
No. I'm going to be calling the race from my house. Where's that?
All right, now that was funny.
Oh, it's just so sad. So far, half of it's over. I mean, are you living the dream?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. This is a great moment in the Steve Jones Show.
Have you ever driven an Indy car backwards, Sage? No. Not a good question.
Do you think you might be able to get me in the IndyCar two-seater?
You know what? How much does it cost to do that?
I have no idea.
How much does it cost to do that?
Honestly, I have no idea. I tried to win. A couple of them, but it doesn't work out so well.
You've researched this, you know. Come on.
I know they do a lot of those rides, but sometimes on Saturday, sometimes early in the day before the race at Pocono. I tried to win one. I finished second.
I know you tried to win. You've looked up how much it costs. Come on. Don't snow the audience here. Come on. You've looked it up.
I wanted to say $150. I honestly don't remember what it is.
We need to get you in one of those.
You basically get two high speed laps at Pocono.
Great. Now we need to get you in there next year. That's what we need to do. We need to get you in next year.
Oh, wow. I wasn't even close with the price of that. Great. Googly muggly. No wonder why I tried to win it. $4.99.
We still need to get you in there next year. For $4.99, we'll put you in there.
I may need a GoFundMe page to get that working.
with Mario driving. $499 done in 74 seconds.
Oh, wait. If Mario's driving, worth every penny.
Wow. Sage Karam next half hour.
I'd ride a two-seater with him, too.
And the show skids to a grinding halt.